morning, everyone, or afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Our current series of talks at the moment are on lesser known characters in the Bible. I've chosen a character from the Old Testament who we hear about in 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles, King Josiah. In 2 Chronicles 34, we read this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. So, young Josiah became king at 8 years old. He starts to seek God at 16 years old, and then at 20 years old, starts to wage war against the idols in the land, as you might expect, you know, a young person to do. Already we see his passion and his earnest desire to see God at the center of his life and the life of his community and country. This means, of course, he also wants to restore and repair the temple of the Lord, because this is the focal point of worship at that time. And in doing so, they find a book. And in the passage, it's called the Book of the Law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. I haven't investigated this a lot, but it might have been the book of Deuteronomy, which is the second giving of the law to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. I might be wrong. The king's secretary reads the book in the presence of the king. From verse 19, it says this: when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes and he gave these orders: go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us, because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord, and they have not acted in accordance with all that's written in this book. So, they inquire of the Lord, and yes, God is a bit angry with them, but because Josiah has humbled himself before God, he's also upset about how Judah has turned to idols instead of to the one true God. God's anger subsides. Reading on, then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all of his heart, all of his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in the book. And then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. And then they go on to celebrate Passover. And this is what it says in verses 18 and 19 in chapter 35. The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel, and none of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah, with the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel who were there with the people of Jerusalem. The Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. So that happened when Josiah was 26, still a young person. It's incredible, really, to show such leadership at such a young age. And I can't imagine it was as easy as the passage makes out, because things have been going on like this for quite a while, and people must have been used to worshipping all these other idols. This was what had become normal. Firstly, what I want to mention is a little bit in the passage that refers about God's anger. And I don't believe our God is an angry God. And I believe, as it says in 1 John 4, that God is love. And in John 3:16, that God so loved the world. And this doesn't mean that God doesn't ever get angry, but that God's anger is all in the context of his love, because he is love. Tom Wright says this about how maybe God feels when he sees people sinning or doing bad things. He says, when God looks at sin, what he sees is what a violin maker would see if the player were to use his lovely creation as a tennis racket. So if you just imagine someone making this beautiful instrument that was meant to play harmonious, beautiful music on, and it being used, you know, to play tennis with, you know, you'd feel cross, but it would be kind of a, no, it wasn't meant for that kind of a feel to it, which is kind of an interesting way, a different way of thinking about God's anger. Also, this passage shows that no matter how far we have strayed from God and his ways, we can always humble ourselves and come back to him. And we can be forgiven, and we can know God's compassion towards us, even in our failures and our weaknesses. And this is one of the main ways that we grow and become more confident in God's love for us, and realize how God's love really is unconditional. And it should also teach us, you know, how to have compassion on others who have failed too. But what I would like to draw from this passage is a more contemporary message. Josiah was a young person, and when he saw his world compared to the world revealed to him through the book of the law of the Lord that was found, he set out to act differently and to bring about change. I think there's a thread that runs from Josiah through to Jesus, then onto people like St. Francis of Assisi, more recently Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, and even more recently John Kirkby, the founder of CAP. People who seemed to see clearly what was needed in the times that they were living in, using the Word of God as written in the Torah or in the Bible as their guide and inspiration. They brought these ancient truths into the present in a fresh and imaginative way. You know, we call these people revolutionaries. They had the courage to act differently and to bring about change. And for some of them, that was with great cost too. One of the terms I hear being used about the times that we're living in now is in this country and in the West is post-Christian. And this is a term used to describe places where Christianity was once the dominant religion, but now society is more being shaped by other values, cultures, and worldviews, not necessarily Christian ones. And more recently, we've seen the rise of many different social justice movements, especially among the young people. And just like Josiah, they are angry at how the world has become, and they want to see a different future that's more just and fair and more at peace. I mean, we could as a church see these movements as a threat to us, as many young people seem to want to engage more with social justice issues than, say, going to a church service. But I think this is a great opportunity for us to explain how many of these movements have their roots in Christianity, just like how Josiah found in this book of the law, a new way of life with God at the center. If we look in our Bible, we can see how this cry from our young people is also the cry of our God for a new kind of future. For example, you know, how can we be prejudiced and not treat every person with dignity and respect? You know, whatever their race, whatever the colour of their skin and whatever their sexuality, when we read in Genesis, we are all made in the image and likeness of God. How can we not love the poor when we see God becoming poor in the person of Jesus Christ, born in a stable? How can we not be for women's rights when we see God using Mary to be the first person to tell of the good news of Jesus' resurrection? How can we not be for peace in our world when we see Jesus loving his enemies even unto death? How can we not care about creation when we see God calling his creation good and calling us to take good care of it? How can we not welcome refugees when we read in the Bible how God welcomes us? The list goes on and on and on. You know, our job is to take these ancient truths, bring them into the here and now. And what we're really doing is embodying the presence of God. And Paul actually calls the church Christ's body. We are animated by God's Spirit working within us. You know, the young people, I think, are already doing this. And like in the story of Josiah, maybe we should let them lead the way. Here are my three questions. Is there a connection between us not putting God first, or idol worship, as it's called in the Old Testament, and social justice issues? So is there a connection between us not putting God first and social justice issues? Question number two, how are we individually and as a church being God's presence in the world today? And question number three, how can we let the young people lead the way in our church on social justice issues? Thanks a lot, guys.